Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. I am Dan, the man to my, well, you're my right. Yeah, it'll be like this the way we record it. Hartley as usual. No guest today because we have a riveting conversation about iOS 18, and we couldn't find any iOS 18 experts out there because it's not available yet. But there are tons of rumors going around surrounding iOS 18. And a lot of them have to do with AI. Hartley, how do you feel about AI, just in the broad sense?
I am both utterly intrigued by it and impressed by it, while simultaneously utterly terrified.
Yeah, same here. Like, when it comes to AI and just like the very general sense of like how it could help us with day-to-day tasks, not that terrifying. When it comes to AI, like replacing jobs and, you know, doing things in robots on its own, like that's terrifying. But when it comes to Apple, that's not what we're really expecting, or more so expecting improvements to a particular area of the operating system that honestly needs to be improved. And that's Siri. So and amongst other features, but a lot of this stuff is also just like, hey, we have Siri being on device. Well, we'll talk about that specifically, but just when it comes to the operating system as a whole and Siri as a whole, just being a little bit better. So with that said, and also apologize to those who are listening, I am stuffed up, just the life of having kids. Hartley just told me about 5 minutes ago that he's also under the weather, but there's no excuses, no days off. We're still bringing you this episode, but just, you know, bear with us. Maybe grab a tea, chill out a little bit, you know, get cozy. We'll try to make this a little bit more relaxed, but yeah, let's talk about some of those iOS 18 improvements. And when it comes to like Siri, we'll start with that. Would you like to inform us about some of those new features that we can expect?
Yeah, so it's supposedly going to be a wholly new version of Siri, which would be significant because it needs it. It really does at this point because I don't know if you've used the version of ChatGPT that is voice controlled,
but it's
very impressive. I mean, it is the same as the text based version, but it's just it makes it feel so much more conversational. Obviously, when it is when you're actually speaking to a responding voice, and it really puts into context for me just how poor Siri is. And what you find with ChatGPT is that you don't really have to watch your words. You can say things clumsily. If you're typing, you can misspell things, and it still understands perfectly. But with Siri, your wording has to be so exact, and you have to sort of memorize the exact phrasing and default to that every time, which is so annoying. And that's one of the things that we're hearing is going to be substantially improved, is that you will be able to field more complex inquiries. So, for example, if it comes to sending a message, you might be able to say something along the lines of send this message to this person and this person, which at the moment it will only assume is a group chat. But it would have to be that exact name. It wouldn't be able to be renamed. There would be all these specific conditions. And when you think of, for example, if a better example maybe is if you say, ask Joe, what the weather is today, it will then send Joe a message saying what the weather is today.
You can't do that now. I've never tried, but you can't do that.
He would receive on his screen, he would receive the words,
ask Joe what's the weather.
Well, he would just get it depends. The point is that any of these little changes to wording can translate to sort of horrific misunderstandings in the way that these things come across. So
yeah,
the ability for that to be understood in the way that large language models do would make a huge difference with Siri, and would actually make it not just useful, but it would just be so much more laid back to just actually feel that you're not constantly having to think, oh, this time I need to make sure that I word it exactly like this.
I rarely ever use Siri, like, besides like some of the easier commands, just asking it what the weather is, you know, maybe turning on something real quick. But like, other than that, I really don't ever use it. How is it doing these days with like follow-up questions, follow-up commands? I'm still under the impression, like you just said earlier, that it probably can't do things like, you know, hey, turn on this light and the TV or like, and something else. Like, it can't handle multiple commands, correct?
I think it's got slightly better in that regard.
But okay,
it's sort of in specific instances. So that's again, kind of the issue with Siri is that you would have to know which specific things it can and cannot combine.
Yeah, and you just don't know.
Which just sort of discourages you from doing it at all. And I think most people that do use Siri, it's ultimately for very basic stuff because you just can't field those complex inquiries, which you really need to be able to do to feel that you can do something really casually. It's like Siri's on the Mac. I don't know how many people really use Siri on the Mac, but I would like to be able to say like a really fluid command, which would make Siri useful on the Mac. I'd like to be able to say, open Google Chrome, go to the Riverside link in Calendar, and then open Notes in split screen. And it should be able to understand that. And if it was ChatGPT, it would understand that. But of course, ChatGPT isn't plugged into macOS. So that's where Siri can really come into its own, I think. Whether it'll be able to do that next year, I don't know. But I think hopes are being set quite high for what iOS 18 and presumably the other software updates next year will be able to do in terms of AI features.
This episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by MasterClass. I'll admit it, I'm not the best person when it comes to personal finances. There's definitely a lot of room for improvement when it comes to cutting costs and saving more money, but most importantly, taking my saved money and making smarter investments. There's a Mastering the Markets class on MasterClass that really gave me some great insight that I'm trying to implement into my personal life. Whether you're watching MasterClass on TV, listening in audio mode, in the app, or on their site, the quality just speaks for itself. It's like MasterClass instructors are your own personal mentors that are going to help you reach that next level. How much would it cost to take a one-on-one class from the world's best? Easily hundreds to thousands of dollars. With a MasterClass annual membership, it's just $10 a month. Memberships just start at $120 a year for unlimited access on one-on-one classes with all 180-plus MasterClass instructors. Learn how to negotiate a raise with Chris Voss or manage your relationships with Esther Perel. There are over 180 classes to choose from with new classes added every month. Take classes from MKBHD and become a GOAT YouTuber, or do what I did and learn more about your personal finances and how to manage and invest your money in that Mastering the Markets class. This holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/Mac. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/Mac. That's masterclass.com/Mac. Offer terms do apply. Thanks, MasterClass, for sponsoring this video. So, like, we're expecting this to then just kind of be more similar to, like, what's possible with, like, the Shortcuts app, like being able to add multiple functions to your command, because that'd be kind of cool, too. I mean, I know you can just create a shortcut right now to help with some of these things, but, like, just be easier for me to be able to say, do this, and then this. Because you can and then, like, when it asks me, like, when it does those things, I should be able to still have, like, a couple-second window to be like, you know what, never mind, turned off this. Like, I didn't want that. Like, I feel like that just makes it better and more conversational, like you said. So hopefully we can get to that point.
That is one of the things that is rumored, is that this new version of Siri will have direct integration with the Shortcuts app, presumably because you will be able to sort of line up commands with Siri, which would translate to the sort of results you get out of Shortcuts. So, for example, you could tell Siri to combine 5 photos into a GIF, and it would then present that to you as a Shortcuts action that it has automatically created. So that's really good as well, because it will make shortcuts even more accessible. I think Apple's done a great job of making shortcuts more accessible with iOS 17 and the pre-made shortcuts that are available there for so many apps now. But this will really be the game changer, because if you don't understand how to do slightly more complex things in terms of grabbing input and then searching through results and things when it does start to go into sort of basic programming, if that could be pre-written for you, that is also a really significant game changer. But then at the high end, of course, we're also hearing about things like Xcode getting AI features that would enable developers to be assisted in writing code in much the same way that Microsoft already has some of these features available, but Apple is behind in that regard at the moment. So it does seem to be like a sort of system-wide thing, which is what it needs to be ultimately. Because Apple talks a lot about machine learning, they have done for years, but I don't feel like we actually see a lot of it. I don't feel like we feel the benefits of those sort of machine learning tools that are going on. When Apple talks about machine learning, they talk a lot about stuff like fall detection or crash detection, but they aren't really saying, well, here is how you can use something like that on a daily basis.
It's just really far behind when you look at other competitors, which really is just Google Assistant in the smartphone space, because, you know, a lot of this then leads to, well, improving Siri for these devices. The primary device that most people have is an iPhone. So obviously we want to get that running really well for people who are iPhone users. And Google, you know, they have tons of phones out there with phones that they sell, but also through other OEMs that use Android. And just like some of those features that I saw, and I can't even remember off the top of my head, some of the more like impressive features that they did offer, but like, just, it's just, I remember sitting there thinking, like, if Apple could do this with Siri, it would just be so, so much better. Like, Google Assistant, well, that's the thing. So it integrated with its own ChatGPT like functionality with Bard. So now it's all coming back to me. Sorry, you know, it's just being under the weather, making it brain fog. But like, using Google Bard and having it summarize articles that you're looking at, like, that is immediately something that's super useful for someone like me. Maybe you don't like that as someone who's writing these articles, taking the time to put in all this work and then having, but like, if readers are reading it, I mean, what does it matter how they, you know, consume it? It's better that they get a more concise version if that's what they want. And being able to just like ask Bard for specific things based off of what you're looking at, whether it be text, you know, images, videos, and like, we could kind of do some of those things with like the image stuff. But it's just not anywhere near the level that Google's offering with its assistant and integrating Bard.
And Apple really should be able to one-up Google in that regard, and with across the whole platform, really, because Apple has that ecosystem advantage. So
right.
The ability to remember that conversation across devices is really useful. I mean, if I could, on my iPhone, say to Siri, I'm just going to pass you some information now. I might want it later when I'm on my Mac, so remember it. It's not something that Google has the ability to do. Or at least, it could do on Chromebooks and whatever, but it doesn't have the ability to, say, process this sort of stuff on device on a Chromebook in the same way that Apple does with Apple Silicon.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's just, that performance level is not there in that ecosystem. Like you said, it's just not there. That would be super useful. Like, all of these things that we talk about sounds useful, but like, it's just, we've been doing it the other way for so long that like, I wonder if I ever will find myself being like, hey Siri, like I'm looking at this now, but I just don't have time for it. But when I open up my Mac the next time and I log in, like, give me a notification right away with that. I just said, hey Siri, and realized my phone's going off. But yeah, like, would you start using things like that? Or do you think it would be like, oh, you test it and then it just doesn't become part of your daily life because you're just not used to doing it?
I think I would use it. Normally, okay. I do tend to sort of lead into the opinion that these things are gimmicks, a little bit like the journaling app, which we can talk about a little bit, maybe, which I hate, actually. And I think it is just a gimmick and a complete waste of time. But I was quite optimistic for that. So I hope that this wouldn't be the same thing, but it really depends on execution. So if it is a very ring-fang, if it's a very ring-fenced experience that only enables me to field slightly more complicated questions when it comes to sending a message, and it isn't a sort of total cross-device, completely new experience that really does feel quite limitless. Because when you use ChatGPT, it does feel limitless, and you do hit the limits when you, I don't know, you try and paste something in that's too big, or you ask it to pretend to be someone, or things that it doesn't like, and it says, I'm not allowed to do that. But generally, you don't feel its limits too much. If Apple is too restrictive of that experience, then that would hold it back, and I would be less interested in it. But I would like to believe that if it's well executed, then I'd use it a lot. I mean, I'm already finding that I'm using ChatGPT more and more in ways that I didn't even think I would, maybe even 2 months ago. For example, I didn't know what to do at the weekend. So I said to ChatGPT in the morning to do a bit of research. I want to do something locally within 20 miles, provide me with 6 options. And it searches the internet and provided me with 6 good options with little summaries, exactly perfect, way better than a search engine. I didn't have to, you know, go searching through anything, looking at ads. It was way better. So it's a question of if Siri is going to be able to do that sort of thing for me.
I don't know if I'm there on a personal level, but for a work standpoint, I use it like just for random stuff that are like super helpful. Like, you know, taking a script of mine and saying, hey, make this into a short, like, I just want to concise it down into information so that I can redo a script, a voiceover, and have it be 30, 60 seconds. I even specifically say that, and it gets pretty close. The last video we did was, AI named for the title. I just said, hey, here's the script. Give me a title that's best optimized for SEO for YouTube. And it gave me a title. I don't know whether or not it's actually, you know, it's too early to tell. I'll check the search rankings and how it's doing. But I mean, I was impressed. Like, and it kind of just felt like it knew, like, hey, this is how YouTube titles are. So, you know, it just sounded natural to me. And so, like, things like that, I'm on board. And if I can get a faster way to do it without having to, like, go to a separate app or, you know, go to the ChatGPT website, that would be helpful. If it's integrated in Siri, if it's got its own dedicated button, which we'll talk about here. Actually, let's jump to that, because a lot of the stuff that would be coming in iOS 18 with Siri and this AI stuff would be potentially on device for the iPhone 16 series. And I'm actually working on a video, weirdly enough, about some of the iPhone 16 features. And one of them that I learned just through research of this video is that there's a new capture button potentially happening. Like, okay. In my opinion, when I hear the term capture, I think of a photo, a video. So my first thoughts were like, okay, this is probably going to be related to the camera. And we don't really know what it's going to be for, if this rumor is true. But could it be that this capture button has something to do with, like, you know, Siri and a more powerful AI version of it, where it's using to capture your thoughts that you need to get into and have, you know, some stuff sent back to you via AI? I don't know. Is that, what do you think about that?
I think that seems to be along the right lines, especially if AI is one of the main features of the iPhone 16, which it's hard to tell at the moment, because the rumors about iOS 18 and the iPhone 16, there's definitely a blurred line there. And the indications that we're being given is that there will be cloud-based features coming to all devices through software updates. But then there will be certain elements of it that will be on device only and a little bit more privacy-focused, with those sorts of advantages. And it gives Apple an opportunity to say, well, these particular features are better with an on-device experience. And don't depend on, yeah, on having, you know, cellular signal. So some sort of dedicated button maybe does make sense for that. Although it's intriguing, because of course you can access Siri right now by holding down the power button. So why would that be different? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe it's got to have something to do with photography. So does it enable you to jump into a completely new UI? Is it like an action button, but effectively just for AI features? I don't know. It's intriguing.
That's where I was confused, because, you know, immediate capture button, I'm like, okay, that's for the camera, easy, boom, like that's what it's going to be for, and it's probably going to bring you to, like, some pro features. But then it said that it's rumored for all iPhone 16 models, so I'm like, okay, And then we saw that maybe it could be for Siri. But like you said, my initial thoughts were, well, I mean, Siri already has the ability to just go through that power button or the side button. So why do we need two buttons for Siri? Maybe that gets repurposed back to the power button. I don't know. So I'm right there with you. I have no idea.
So it is a... It's one of the things that I hope that in the rumor cycle for the iPhone 16 that we will learn more about. I hope it's not just another action button where it's just broadly mappable to a different set of features. It's got to be something special to justify adding another button. It can't just be another action button. And really, it's got to be quite unique in terms of what it's offering, because you do have already the ability to access Siri through that button, and you also have the action button. So I can't get my head around that right now. But it does seem to make sense to me in terms of the on-device processing element of it. I think that's maybe where the discussion with Apple Silicon goes next, when we look at the A18 Pro, when we talk about M4. Maybe this is the direction Apple goes in, and Apple can start to say, these chips offer a completely different and more specific and more refined on-device processing for the new version of Siri, or whatever, however they're going to word it, or whatever they'll market it as, and that they can, generation over generation, explain why that experience is faster and better. Because, you know, Apple Silicon is good. By the time they get to M4, M5, is it just going to be every time our 10% better CPU performance? They've got to have some other morsels to throw in there. And I think that AI seems like the perfect thing. We heard a little bit more about AI with the M3, actually. It's got the same neural engine, but because of 3 nanometer, you get better performance out of the neural engine, even though they've got the same number of cores. So yeah, I think that it does make sense in terms of what's yet to come. There's definitely both a software and a hardware side of the AI discussion. And we don't hear that much about AI hardware. We hear a lot about AI software and cloud processing, but I think that that's where Apple really has an opportunity, in addition to its ecosystem advantage, to really bring AI into its own with that hardware advantage.
Hey guys, just wanted to take another quick break to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Factor. This holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, convenient meals to keep you energized on jam-packed days. Trust me, having 3 children like I do makes the holiday season an even busier time of the year for us, and I'm so happy that when I'm in a pinch, I have Factor meals at the ready. Factor, America's #1 ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you fuel up for fast breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of your holiday to-dos. There are tons of different categories of meal plans to choose from, too. Looking for calorie-conscious options over the holidays? Try the Calorie Smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. With Factor, you can rest assured you're also making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for production sites and offices. This November, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. So head on over to factormeals.com/MAC50 and use code MAC50 to get 50% off. That's code MAC50 at factormeals.com/MAC50 to get 50% off. Thanks, Factor, for sponsoring this episode.
Do you think that there will be some AI features directly related to the Apple Vision Pro? I mean, it only makes sense. Like, that seems like a really big opportunity for Apple there as well. What do you think that landscape would look like?
That's a really interesting question. Off the top of my head, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I deflected it to you.
it's because I think ultimately our wishes for Siri are so simple, and what Siri is doing is being done by things like what we want Siri to do is already being done by ChatGPT. Really, if Siri just did what ChatGPT did, and Siri had a typable interface, that would be fine. That in a spatial computing environment, even better, but it's still ultimately doing the same thing. So
yeah,
I think that long term, for sure, if it comes to building apps, I mean, we have heard some rumors about using shortcuts to build apps, or AI features specifically to build apps, and maybe in a spatial environment that might begin to make more sense. But that is leaning into that whole angle of what this kind of next generation spatial computing experience will even be. And I really don't know what that is.
So going back to two things you said, one, the most recent thing was typable interface. Yeah, on my iPhone, if I can't type back to Siri and like have a full-fledged conversation and it retains history, would be nice. And I can copy and paste or like have a share sheet or something to like send that info off to, then it's still useless in my opinion. I mean, it's a little bit more useful, but it's still not as good as like being able to do what ChatGPT can do. For the use cases that I would be looking at. And then the other thing is when it comes to building apps, like where does that line go between like, you know, what if it becomes easy enough for me to be like, hey, I have an app idea, Siri GPT, like, can you make me an app that does this, this, and this, and like write the code for me? And then is it going to be as easy as like, okay, that's done. And then there's like a UI and Xcode that just makes it easier for people like me who have no coding experience to just like tweak some of the things that you need to do? Or is there still need to be, you know, developers in this world? Like, I don't want the whole subset of people out there to lose their jobs. And sure, though, it'll probably just be a better tool at first. But if it really does become as easy as like, make me an app that does this, and also who gets the credit for that too? Like, do I become the developer of that app, or and I make money off the App Store, or does Apple make money because Apple assisted? Like, what happens?
And you can already do this with ChatGPT. You can ask it to code an app for you. It's just a little bit more limited because the sort of responses you get are limited in length. So you're not going to be able to do anything super complicated. But it's a little bit more appropriate. Like if you wanted a new HTML element for your website, that you definitely can get out of ChatGPT. But fast forward a year from now, I can absolutely see tools available that will enable you to develop an entire app like that from start to finish. That is the whole can of worms with AI generally in terms of ownership, and how do we stop app review just being flooded with thousands of AI generated apps?
I mean,
from random people, scam apps that are, you know, sophisticated because they've got extensive AI tooling and they can be reconfigured and reconfigured over and over again to prevent that from being discovered. But then I guess the answer is app review also becomes more AI driven.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, we're going to need AI to review the AI.
It's just a never ending cycle. I don't know what the answer is, but I think that ostensibly at surface level, it is only a good thing if people like you and I with very limited to no coding experience can actually do that and can just think, oh, I want a better calendar app. I want it to do this, this, and this. And just have a conversation with Siri, and Siri will say, okay, let's go over to Xcode and then ask you some more questions. And then, you know, an hour later, I've got my app and it's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to need like design. There's going to be developers for design. Like, yeah, I could probably create some. Well, I guess maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how advanced this thing could be. Like if I say I want it to look like this, this, and this, give me some kind of design like that. It's very possible that you can find what you need. I mean, it's only a matter of time until AI replaces us on this podcast. So, you know, is what it is.
Yeah.
You can already do these things for your voice. Did you know that? Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where
they
I can get, like, I can.
Unsettling.
Yeah. I can train with all the thousands of hours that exist out there of my voice. It'll be easy for.
And just grab some AI transcripts of your videos and of all the episodes of the podcast, and you've got your speech pattern, your word choice, everything.
I've had Kevin, we all know Kevin, the tech ninja. He was on our podcast multiple times. Andrew Edwards, they have used these tools to make shorts, like TikToks, Instagram, some about the fact that you could do this. And then like saying this entire video is done by AI, and some without even telling people. And it's been remarkable because no one can tell. It's just like, yeah, you sound a little bit more robotic in the way you talk, but like, it's still your voice. And most people out there just don't know that this stuff exists yet. So they don't question it. So, yeah, maybe I just take a step back a little bit and just let AI take over for a while. I'm sure some people will comment that they would absolutely enjoy that. Who knows? So yeah, I mean, I know we're kind of all over the place with AI, but like that's just kind of how I feel my brain works when it comes to ChatGPT and machine learning and smarter language models. Like I don't even want to pretend to be an expert on that. And I'm just as like shocked as everybody else when I see all these new things come out. I'm just trying to figure out better ways to improve the Mac, the iPad, and the iPhone, and like what I would use that for.
I think that really Apple needs to kind of rethink from the ground up how users even would want to use AI on their devices. And I would like to see, to be honest, it's a little bit like the whole macOS on iPad scenario, where because we struggle to imagine a better iPadOS experience on the iPad, we just say, oh, just put macOS on the iPad. So I hope that Apple doesn't, in a way, just put ChatGPT, effectively make ChatGPT the next version of Siri. I hope that it is better. I hope that it is more innovative. You know, we are limited by what we can imagine with that, because ChatGPT is ultimately the best, kind of the best of what we've experienced with that sort of thing. But I'd like to believe that Apple could do something even better.
What would you want it to do if you could pick?
Well, I mean, I'd want it to do
the main thing.
I don't know about the main thing, but for me, I think it comes down to these little features like the ability to type to Siri on all devices, for that to have an ability to search the internet and return results from it, not just say to me, I've sent something to your iPhone, or here's just some Bing search results. I wanted to actually be able to read that and tell me information that it is reading in real time. I think that would be a way to level up Siri, but it's got to just get the understanding so that things can be far more conversational. That's really got to be the first step, I think. But the list is endless.
I was going to say, like, looking at some of the info, let's look at some like minor quality of life improvements. Like, you know, in the articles that we have up on the MacRumors.com website, you can see all about all the stuff that we're talking about. Auto-generated Apple Music playlists. Like, my first thought is, do you not already kind of have something like that? I say that as a Spotify user, for those who are not aware. Like, I feel like we've got a lot of auto-generated stuff in Spotify.
Spotify does, but Apple Music has very little of it. The best you get is your get-up mix, your chill mix, your new music mix, and that is just using information about what you've favorited in the past, and you get a playlist of like 25 songs, but it's not particularly good, and that's really all you've got. A couple of other new features, like you now get suggestions to add songs to a playlist, so it can look at what's in a playlist and suggest some other songs that may be similar or maybe relevant to whatever that playlist is trying to be. But this is so far behind what Spotify is doing. So Apple Music is definitely Apple Music. An area that would benefit.
You poor Apple Music people. We've had that ability, the auto like generated list of things that you'd want to put in that playlist. There are playlists, like I can search up a specific like genre mood. Like I the other day I looked up Halloween themed like pop punk music, and it was a Spotify created. So like that's how I know, okay, this is going to look at music that I listen to and bands that I listen to, and then it's going to give me songs that are like somewhat creepy. I think a lot of these ones were like it had like creepy names or like Halloween, like it was cool though. Like based off of the music that I listen to. And then there are countless other playlists out there that are not based off of that. But like you can type in different moods, different genres, different whatever the case may be, workout mix, you know, and you get a ton of that stuff. Also, the ability to create your own playlist. And then when you shuffle it, it's like a smart shuffle feature, and it'll just throw in songs automatically in that playlist based off of what you listen to. That fits like the vibe that you have, which is kind of cool. So it's like that kind of stuff that what you're looking for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anything really. I mean, Apple Music is so far behind in terms of these features. Virtually anything that Spotify currently has. I mean, bear in mind, the best thing that we got in Apple Music in like the last 3 years is crossfade. That's the level we're at with Apple Music. So I would be extremely grateful.
Every once in a while, I kind of feel like I should switch over to Apple Music just because of the ecosystem integration and all of that. And then I see and hear your thoughts about things that you're missing and what you don't have and what you are wishing for. And I'm like, okay, maybe I just got to stay where I'm at for a little bit.
I do still prefer Apple Music.
Yeah,
that is its weak point, but I love the ability to actually curate a library. It's more like having a record collection, whereas with Spotify, yeah, you don't ever feel like there's anything in your library.
No, and that's my biggest gripe, is that I would prefer that, which is why, and like, I like the look of the way they just handle playing music. It does feel like I am like looking back at my old CDs or vinyl that I have. And you just don't get that experience. So like, as a music lover in that regard, yes, that's what I ultimately want, is just to go back. And it just takes me back, because like, I used to use iTunes all the time to organize my library, to put on my iPods. And like, it does still feel like that, whether that's a good thing or not, because it's just been dead for so long. But it does still feel like that's what you kind of have. And you don't get that with Spotify, you're right. But there are so many other good quality of life improvements that I just don't know. It'll have to be one of those things where... and this could be another transition for AI in another space. CarPlay. Like, making CarPlay a lot smarter with Siri commands. That's where I feel like using Siri to the best of your ability makes a lot of sense. You're alone in your car. You should not be picking up your phone. You definitely shouldn't be typing. If I want to have a quick chat with, I'm going to call it Siri GPT. If I want to make a quick chat with that, like, the car makes sense and getting things done that way. You have an idea. You want to get that thrown into an Apple Note. Like, why can't it do that? It should be able to.
Yeah, and it's, and even where you make those requests, it's still so basic. So I completely agree. And even in other areas, some of the other areas that are rumored are in Apple's productivity apps like Pages and Keynote. There is a place for AI there to generate text, and to generate, say, in Mail, to generate an auto response to an email. That is still, that they can still sort of ring fence that experience, which is how I think that Apple's far more likely to do it. They're going to give the same level of freedom that even ChatGPT provides. But I'd really find that really useful in Mail.
Why am I so not excited whenever I see updates and things for Pages and Keynote? Like, they
are always so small. They are so small.
I don't use anything else. Like, I don't download Microsoft Office. Pages and Keynote is fine for whenever I need to use those things. But like, it's the least sexy things I could possibly read is when they're like, we've updated Pages and Keynote. And I'm like, I am not interested. I do not care. Put those productivity app features with AI into reminders, notes. Make those better. Those are more important, in my opinion. But I know there's going to be some Pages and Keynotes fans out there are potentially just driving very angry at this moment in time, or slamming their fists at their desk because they're just like, what are you talking about? Are there exclusive Pages and Keynote users? Like, I feel like Microsoft Office has that just at a threshold, just like, just really
I've
grabs
Pages
that.
And Keynote and Numbers for years, but I don't know if I'm just too deep in the Apple ecosystem.
Do you write your articles in those?
No, but like, no. When I was like at school and university, I never used Microsoft. I was always that person who was like, no, let me export this into a Word document.
Yeah. Hold on. I'll send you the right one. Yeah. You know how many conversations I've had to have? Oh, I can't open your text. Oh, by the way, life hack, which I don't know. Is that still an issue these days? Is the .doc or .docx like still a problem? If it is still a problem, here's what you do. Send over... Well, but you got to make sure they don't have a Mac and the ability to do this. But if you have one of those teachers that has like a PC, send over a .docx and just know that it can't get opened right now at the day of like a deadline. And then when they say, oh, I can't open it, you've got like another day or a couple hours to rework your stuff. And then don't listen to this advice, by the way. I am just joking. But like, I feel like that was always a cool hack. Like, you sent that and they're like, oh, I can't open it. You're like, cool, I've got some time to tweak this to make it better. Because they're like looking at an email length of time. That could be a full day of me not responding.
It's such a nostalgic problem.
I've done that before in the past. But also my past for that was 15 years ago. So, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I have nothing else.
No. I think that is it.
Yeah, I would love to hear everybody else's thoughts, though. I mean, I'm sure we're missing a bunch of things. I don't know. I think there's a lot of improvement for Siri, obviously, and a lot of things that ChatGPT-like AI could be beneficial in the Apple ecosystem. I just couldn't tell you what one specific thing I would want it for. That's up to Apple to...
And it's because it needs be so comprehensive. It needs to be system-wide. It needs to be in Mail. It needs to be in Keynote. It needs to be in Numbers. It needs to be in Siri. It needs to be in Shortcuts. It needs to be in Apple Music. I mean, even things like Apple Podcasts would benefit, giving us AI transcripts with the ability to just say to Siri, "I that insight from the podcast at 11 minutes through, capture that, add that to notes, or save that, clip that as a file. I want to be reminded of that later, and add a linked reminder to it." So it just needs to be everywhere, ultimately. And I don't know if we're going to be set up for disappointment, because I don't know if Apple's going to be brave enough or capable of providing that in, what, at this point, like 7 months, 8 months?
Well, that was the other thing. I guess we can end on this. Is one of the other articles that we were using for our little reference notes here is that apparently they paused a lot of new features for iOS 18 and macOS 15 to clean up bugs, which, you know, I hate because I want all the flashy new features, but I know you appreciate and I do appreciate as well. So like, what are we even going to get if Apple has to take time for its developers to be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that right now. Focus on the bugs first. I feel like a lot of these things that are rumored for next year are probably not going to happen right away.
I think that I can imagine AI being basically all we get. And if it is, if it is fairly well spread out, I think it will be enough. But maybe it's just the other features that we don't know about that are early in development, and Apple's just thinking AI is enough and we have enough bugs to fix. And I hope that that's what's going on. I hope they're not actually shelving too much of this AI capability for next year.
All right. Well, let us know your thoughts on AI and Apple and how those two could coexist in the comments, or hit us up on X, Instagram. We have a whole bunch of stuff that we're slowly rolling out. We have our own Mac Rumor Show TikTok account. You can go check that out. Soon we'll have the Instagram account up and running and getting some posts up there. We have obviously the new YouTube channel that's dedicated, which eventually will be the only place where you can watch and listen on YouTube. And yeah, you know, go follow us in all of those places, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.